Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and I am in the basement with Javon and Therese. Shine.
Hey, this is Gina Breedlove, and you're listening to In the Basement with Javon and Therese.
What's up? It's your girl, Monifa, and you're tuned in to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, it's your girl, Allison Williams, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese, playing My Kind of Music.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with your partner to rest. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with your partner to rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway, but she did mention none other than Shaka Khan as one of her.
Why you gotta say, wait a minute. She did mention
no other than Shaka Khan.
I'm like, where does your voice go? What happened? What's happening? Even the mere mention of her name. Silence. Oh, gosh.
Would you believe I'm blushing?
Yes. Hard. You're speechless blushing. That's the thing. Speechless blushing.
Rezzy, I can't help it.
It's a Shaka. This is Shaka rehab, you know.
There's a cure for this. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Oh, well, senses though, Jay.
I'm going to send y'all some perfume. I'll definitely get an address. I'll send y'all tomorrow.
You can send me some cologne. Because, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Just in case I should meet Shaka Khan, I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Shaka Khanaka. All right, thank you. Let's carry on. I'm sorry.
Javon, yeah, there's a pill you're going to be able to take.
I promise I had to tell them which way you went, but they're coming for you.
With time, so
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Just for that little piece, I'm just gonna keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just kidding.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr.
Ooh.
Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.
Rezzy, what's up?
They do what it do. Happy Saturday, boo boo.
Happy Shaka Khanaka. What's up, Dr. Simone?
Shaka Khanaka.
Happy Shaka Khanaka. That's every day, I think.
Every day?
Every day. Every day.
Happy Saturday. Happy holiday weekend for some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a holiday weekend. I get an extra day off.
Hey.
And there's some nice fireworks that happen. I like fireworks. They're pretty. The best fireworks show that I've ever seen was Pride circa probably, I don't know what, prior to the new pier down in Christopher Street. But they
prior to the
fix up clean up pier. Back in the day during the grungy pier that I love so dearly,
myself included.
Right, they had fireworks at Pride. That's how they ended Pride. And OMG, I thought those fireworks were always much better than a nicer and more whatever than. I guess more dramatic now that I think about it is Pride. So, you know, if the children had anything to do with it, you know, it was a lot more. But I always found those to be more blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. And today's show is brought to you by WJBR Internet Radio. Internet radio for the sophisticated mind and the inquisitive. Because if you ain't curious, hey, nothing, you know, you don't want nothing. Ain't nothing to do here, because all we do is fill you with information and entertainment.
There you go. And some stuff you can walk away from. Now, today's show is particularly going to be one of my faves. I already know, because it's in line with my new personal mantra for the last, well, put like this. We're not going to start putting the clock on when decisions are made. Sometimes you're in that contemplative stage because you know something just doesn't sit right in your spirit. Well, I shifted it and I've been shifting and I'm it's working for me, you know, and it's really about taking an invested interest in this self-care piece.
Yes.
You know, and I say that particularly for everyone, but specifically today for our Black women, women of color, because we tend to have the world on our shoulders in support and in everything else. And the last of us are usually the ones that take care of ourselves in ways that are holistic, that are unselfishly done. You know, we generally have to be concerned with other things outside of ourselves that take precedence for whatever reasons we make up about it, whether the kids need that or this, but you know, without you, none of it exists. So again, before you start putting other things before yourself, you do some self-care and you balance that act that you do. It cannot be one side. One side, it leads to unhealthy situations. So, yeah.
You start off the day peeling onions. I dig it. I dig it. And so let us peel the onion. Yes, Ulysses Pop Carter is not with us today. He's minding his, and that's all I'm going to say about that. When he returns, he can answer that for you, Ms. DJ. So we will keep popping prayer. Not that he's ill, but we always pray for his safety. Always, every day. Good morning, Cousin LaVon. And so, yeah, self-care. So I have been given the news. I know I spoke to you about that. What's up, Walt? See, we always got our brothers with us. You know, the brothers. Love you, Walt.
Hey, Walt.
So I think I had mentioned to you, and actually I mentioned it publicly to everyone, that the city was considering early retirement incentives. And so they have opted out. And therefore, I will not be able to retire this year. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. That's okay. That's okay, because it gives me more time to, and really it was kind of sprung on me, and I was not, although I was thinking, I was, prior to hearing about the early retirement incentive, I was wishing that I could retire. Oh, I wish I could retire. Oh, I wish I could retire. However, I wasn't acting as if that was going to happen. So people oftentimes say, and I believe this to be true, when you put something out into the universe, if you really, really want it, you behave as though it's coming to fruition. Because if you don't believe it, the universe won't receive it. If you don't act accordingly, and in that particular piece of my desire, there was a part of me that didn't believe it was possible. And so I wasn't acting in that way. See, Pop is in here, in the car, en route to the airport, listening to the show. We love you. And so does everybody, Pop. You're just that lovable kind of person, man. Everybody loves you.
Travel mercies, Pop.
That's what's up. And yes, what I'm speaking about is manifestation. And so the time leading up to the potential early retirement incentive, I was thinking about it so much. I was talking about it. I was, if I could retire. But I wasn't preparing for it. Simple as that. Because in my mind, I had X amount of years to go before I could. So I didn't even believe that the universe could deliver what it was that my heart desired. And so I got a tease. You understand what I'm saying? Because the universe said to me, well, anything is possible. And yet you're not ready for it. So I'm going to take this off the table right now. Get your shit together. That's how I see that table right now. That's not to say that the possibility won't be presented again next year or the year after. Whatever. I need to be prepared for all things that I desire. I want longevity. I want to be healthy. I want to continue to love and have love in my heart and to be loved. So I need to be loving. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be healthy, so then I need to drink more of this stuff, water. That's part one. That's part one. We all know we're part water. Drink some damn water. People have been saying that since you were a kid, right? Mm-hmm. Stop drinking that Kool-Aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like what you just started in my head, you know, reminding me, that I need to speak about that, those things that I truly desire. I remember I watched the movie The Secret, right? Based on the book The Secret. I watched the video. And it talked about, if you want a car, you have to see yourself in the car and holding that steering wheel, see yourself driving it, you know? And I remember seeing myself driving, and I thought in my mind, a black on black, I don't even want to say the name of the, because I'm so upset with the freaking company that makes the car that I love so much. I'm so upset with that company right now. I'm not even going to say their name. But anyway, I saw myself driving the car that I desired. I started putting money away for the car because I knew it was coming, because I had that manifestation mentality,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when I would see that car on the road in that color that I wanted, I would say, yep, there's my future car. And then I would visualize my hands. I think at that time I had like a tan or beige car, the same make but a different year. But I wanted a brand new, I had never had a brand new car before. And I saw my hands on a black steering wheel because it was black on black. And I saw the interior black with a brand new car, my first. Black interior, but a silver exterior. But that was cool because the silver is even prettier than the black I had imagined. But it manifested. And now when I see my hand on black steering wheel, it's because I got a black steering wheel. It's like that shit really came true. And I believe that if you see yourself healthy and you eat healthy and you exercise like you're healthy and you do the things and you act as if you already have those things, they come. What say you?
That's exactly it. It's manifestation and alignment. You know, because you can't, the universe is saying to us, the universe only gives us what we ask for. And I use the word only, joking, you know, it only gives us what we ask for. And remember, we don't just ask out loud. The alignment piece comes into where we walk with it, our walk with it. If we don't believe something, neither will the universe in ways that reflect what our true situation is, you know, and being prepared for whatever it is, that is your homework assignment, you know. If you want something to come into fruition, you have to start walking like you want it, believing in it, researching what you have to do to get it done, you know. And you know something, it's very funny because I remember something my mother told me the first house I bought, right? Because I wasn't prepared financially. But I knew I wanted it. So my mother was like, you know, and I mean, one day we had this casual conversation and she just dropped this jewel on me. And she said, well, why don't you just go out and get a realtor and go out and start looking to see what's out there? I said, well, you know, because I don't really have the money for it yet. But she said, do the legwork. The money will come. Mm-hmm. And if that wasn't a true statement, nothing was. Nothing was, because all the way up until the point where I didn't think that I was prepared, the universe shifted that for me because I started doing the action, started walking the walk, started looking at areas and school systems and all this other thing, you know, that I wanted to, you know, and how many, what did I see myself in and how, and all that just manifested, and my will and the universe manifested it. The money came.
You know, Misty J, I just want to say that I have 100% been there. In some ways, I'm still there. And I really am coming to believe that it's not, and I don't want to, and I'm talking about myself, not you, Misty. This is on me. Okay. A part of it has to believe what my true underlying belief. So you know how in the Bible it says the faith of a mustard seed? Sometimes you need more than a faith of a mustard seed. You remember a miracle on 34th Street? I believe. It's silly, but I believe. Sometimes you need to really believe. Sometimes in some things, when you want, the bigger the thing is, the more you have to be powerful in your decision. That's me. That's mine. Now, there are some things that I have shifted on that I no longer want, that I wanted, but I didn't claim that I wanted. I'm going to be real specific right now.
Okay.
Okay, so there was a position at work that I think, I really believe, in my heart of hearts, I thought I wanted, and I thought I was striving towards, and I was doing a lot of extra shit to earn that position. I was being told, and you know, if you do this, you'll get it, and if you do that, you'll get it. And I worked hard. I did what they asked me to do, and I went beyond that. Created shit that they had me from here, okay? Created shit that they asked me to go across the city of New York and train.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Did you tell them that you wanted the position?
No. Well, I did. I did at different intervals to different people, you know, but not, I did, but I did at different times, right? However, there was a part up under my belief that
subconsciously
I never believed they were going to give it to me. There was a time that I believed I was going to get it, and then I saw what they did, and then I lost faith in them and their ability to be fair. You know, and when but the fairness that we all look for has nothing to do with what we manifest. And that's where I am now. Now I damn sure don't want it. I just want to, the next best thing for me is retirement. That's it. I'm gonna trudge along until, you know, because when you work this long in this kind of situation, you don't just go somewhere else and start again. Hell no. I'm going to finish this out, finish my course to the best of my ability, and then I'm going to invest my time and energy in this sort of thing that we're doing right here.
Well, you can do whatever you want to do. Real talk. You can do whatever you want to do, because the key word, I believe, is that you have to be healthy and you have to be whole. And you have to live within your heart's content that will bring you joy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I've known too many people that have gotten off that proverbial retirement page, because a lot of us, you know, we're taught that. You know, these are messages that we are taught. We are taught to go to school, get a good job. And it's generational now. We're not taught necessarily to go to school to start your own business, you know. Just go to school, get a good job, and work for the Corporation of America and be useful of some sort. And then you retire and then you die, you know. And in between that, if you're blessed, you have children and families and other things that bring your life joy. So, and that's kind of a mantra of sorts. And it fits the system of the status quo of things. But seldom have I heard someone say, I've worked my entire career doing something that I love for someone else. Through it all, we're still doing some working for someone else in the process, and then accepting whatever it is they want to pay us, they want to serve us, the time that they want us to work, which doesn't necessarily lend itself to joy for you, you know. And I had to discover that, you know. I had to discover, even though there were some things that I was doing in the course of my career that I absolutely loved, like working with children, absolutely loved that. You know, working in theater, absolutely loved that. And then there were other paths that I took that I did not necessarily bring me joy, you know. And in order for me to be useful, there has to be an ounce of joy somewhere in what I do. You know, the moment it becomes obligatory, for whatever reason, the moment I do not feel like putting my feet on the floor to face the day, and I know that my spirit is misaligned, and I have to get that back. Now, these are discoveries later on. You know, we're taught to just push through it, right? We don't feel like going, oh, it's Monday. Oh, let's get up and let's just go. We're taught to push through it. That's what we're taught. But what that's saying to me, and these are just my words to self, is that your soul is not in alignment with what you are doing. Because the moment you get up and you do not feel like you are being blessed into usefulness, there's something wrong there. You know, I don't want to watch a clock. I don't want to do any of those things. I want to, and I definitely don't want to be like, God rest his soul, Coddington John, this gentleman that he was the first person that I knew on the job because he was older than I was at the time that always counted down the days and paid attention to his retirement. Well, the story to that is, and I think that I had this experience just to kind of shift my perspective a little earlier, although I'll admit that I didn't pay attention to it, is one day Coddington didn't come to work years later. And we went looking for him. And it was odd because he also missed the pay period and he didn't collect his check. So we knew something was wrong, you know, only to find out that he had passed away. And his goal was, he was from Grenada, and his goal was to go back home after he retired to build his house and, you know, settle down there. He never fucking made it, good people. He just didn't make it. You know, he was working two jobs. I was with him on one of his gigs, all the way up until the point where he was going to then start to manifest or start to do what he really wanted to do later in life. And he didn't make it. And me being young at the time was like, you know, that hit different. You know, I was just like, wow. So what happens? And you know the old saying, you can't take any of this stuff with you. So there are trauma situations that force us to do things. There are just the need to change, you know. Another friend of mine, a parent passed away, you know. And that changed their life immediately, whereas mommy wasn't home base anymore. So they were kind of like just out here, you know, dad passed away, mom wasn't home base anymore, forced you into a different understanding for self. Partners pass away that you thought you'd rock out with, to death do you part. Total change the trajectory, blah, blah, excuse me. But right now, if I can think it, feel it, I have to do it. The only thing is how, but whether or not it's going to happen, not a question anymore. Not a question anymore. If I have a means to do something, I will get up and do it, you know, because I don't know what, on the other hand, like just like taking a spontaneous trip because you just felt like it. Done. From that spun off major opportunities. You never know where God needs you to be, you know, and I just don't want to ever be in a space again where I'm limiting myself. But some of what you spoke about, Javon, was also those little voices that undermine ourselves, you know, those little voices that say to you that you're not good enough. No one will ever look at this way because it's, you know, any of those voices need to be silenced, you know, and that's personal work. You know, I've said before many times publicly on this show and to whoever listens, therapy freaking works. If you find a great therapist to unload some of these inner conversations, because they just don't disappear, you know, they don't disappear. They shift and they become, you know, part of your skin that you realize is not something you need to drag with you. You know, those voices, those inner messages that send all that you realize. To you. You know?
Yeah.
They are just, yes, therapy freaking works. It really does. And you, when you find the right fit and you can have someone that challenges your thinking and also listens to it, because sometimes we're just working through a whole bunch of trauma that we've managed to work through or get over. But we don't have to. We can absolutely make peace with it and put it behind us in such a way that it no longer feeds us those internal messages of not being good enough, or lack, for that matter. We don't lack anything, good people. We lack nothing. Everything that we need, we came here with. We're spending this life, you know, getting rid of those messages that we picked up.
Absolutely.
And trust me, they carry over into adulthood, subtle. You know when somebody is stuck in a space, you know, and they're doing just enough, you know, to be.
It's true.
Well, the guests today are all about the manifestation and finding that zen and whatever that takes, and de-traumatizing one's spirit, you know, so that you can be in alignment and healthy, and what that takes to do, and communities that do it. You know, I'm excited to be able to talk to them both. One of them is a dear friend, and the other one I've recently met, but I definitely think they're doing amazing things in the world, and how they came to those journeys separately and together, we're going to drill down on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting them both. If you are watching on the Facebook page, on my personal Facebook page, please move over to YouTube.
Yes.
Okay. WJBR Internet Radio. I cannot see your comments. So please move over to YouTube, WJBR Internet Radio. If for some reason you are not allowed to go to YouTube because you done messed up and YouTube won't let you on, we have another Facebook page, which is In the Basement with Javon and Therese. So I, on my personal page, I just put it up there so you can see what we're doing, but I cannot comment in real time. I can't catch up with you. So your trauma responses thrive on your misery. This is true. This is why you must challenge your default settings and create a life that honors your best, highest self, and that feeds that pain. Let me just say that, story, you know, one of those TikTok quick things, and this really beautiful Latina woman is like, Oye, don't you ever beg for a seat at the table when you can create your own table. Let me just tell you something. Let me just tell everybody something. One of the things that I do enjoy about my job is that it has provided me with the resources to do the push to do the things that I want to do. Because one thing, if somebody tells me what I can't do or what I shouldn't do and it's something I want to do, pushes me harder than just the thought in my mind that I want to do something. If I want to do something, I do it. If I want, I create it from nothing, whatever it is. Whatever it is, I want to, it's really kind of funny to me in some respects. You have a, okay, let's just say, you're a person who, you know, you can't sing. You can sing, but you don't sing that well. You know Monifa. You know Chaka Khan. You can't sing like that. But yet and still, you love to sing. You love to entertain. So that's me, right? Nobody was going to write a song for me to sing and record. I wrote my own song. I learned how to create music. I learned how to write a song. I wrote a song. I got people together. Let's do a music video. I mean, any, and I'm just saying this because anybody can do whatever it is they want to do. You can create it. And you don't have to allow that trauma to beat you into a no can do spirit energy. You know,
or a hater,
because somebody else is doing something that you might want to do or you might have wanted to do.
Right.
If you see people doing things and that's something that inspires you to want to do it, fucking do it. Figure out a way for yourself. You know, disappointment, right. Let disappointment be your ground zero. You know, like, okay, all right, that shit hurt. Now, what do I want to see? And do the next right thing to start creating that thing, whether it be researching, whether it be self-help, whether it be, you know, changing something, learning something, trying something. And believe it or not, the Bible says write it down. Like 3 times in the Bible it says, if you want something to manifest, write it down. It says that. Huh.
You know what's interesting too, and also this is not discussed enough. It isn't discussed, but it's not discussed enough. Watch the folks that you spend your time with. I don't give a flying shit who it is.
Not a
mother, father, sister, brother. Mother, father, sister, brother, friend, doesn't matter. Watch your circles, who you hang out with, and the messages that they do. Are you with cheerleaders? Are you with people that want to see you? Are you with people that challenge you to do better? Are you with people that remind you of things that you wanted to do? Are you with people that always have that negative reinforcement? Meaning, and it doesn't have to look like negative reinforcement. It could be like, oh, man, I wish I could do that. Nah, you can't do that because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's probably good that you not.
Exactly.
Really?
And yeah, and don't behave like an audience member when you know in your heart you are the show. And,
hey.
You know, and also you don't be a co-star in your own movie.
What?
You know? You can't, you know, allow other people to run your show, you know, so to speak. Like, you know, you want to be a nurse, but somebody's pushing you and saying you can't be a nurse, you know, and you know, it. So do I. Actually, I circle alone in the basement. I just go around in the circle for the most part. Nah, I'm just teasing. But anyway, you know, there's nothing that you can't do. That saying is so true, but there's nothing that you can't do if you believe in yourself. If you believe. And if you can sit and believe all you want, but if you don't take the steps, it starts here, but you have to have an action. Because if you sit and pray all day, that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
But if you don't get up and move,
mm-hmm.
ain't nothing going to happen.
Right.
Remember the saying, prayer without works is dead. What are you praying right. for? You're not moving towards it.
Right. And you can't say you want one thing and then do everything opposite of what that is. Meaning sometimes if it's not even about, you know, there were some things that I've wanted and there were some things that I was obligated to do, you know, on a daily. But as soon as my obligations were over, I would focus on the things that I wanted to do because I felt like in my brain said to me, if I spent 2 hours doing something I was obligated to do for whatever my reasons or personal choices were, then I got to spend 3 over here.
Mm. I like that.
I got to spend 3 over here doing that. You know, if I've worked hard for the week, then I've got to work harder at the play the following week. Because I don't want to be one of those bitter old crunchy ladies. We all know them. We all know them and we all talk about them. That just sit up and they hate on everybody or have something smart to say, snarky to say about everybody doing the same. You know, that was enough for me. We had a lot of them in our community off and on growing up, and you know, everybody knew who they were. They were haters. Now, they're necessary. They're necessary women, you know, but at the same time, it's just, you know, you don't want to be them. You know, they're there to remind you of how unique that position is and how you don't want to be in that position.
I just want to remind everybody that the phone lines are open, 347-996-5394. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. Yeah. 347-996-5394. If you are interested in chatting, you know, call in and say something. The other thing, and, you know, I think this is important too. Let's do our Black History moment here for a second. So this gentleman here is Bowling Allen. On July 3rd, 1844, he was born. He is considered to be the first African-American licensed to practice law in the United States. He was licensed in the state of Maine and became America's first African-American lawyer. Allen later became a justice of the peace in Middlesex County in Massachusetts, thereby becoming the first African-American judicial official in the country. Allen also served as a lawyer and probate court judge in South Carolina. He was born on, July 3rd, 1844. In Indiana, and died on June 11th, 1894 in Washington, D.C. at the age of 77. So now, I am sure that what year was it?
1877?
1844? Yeah, no, he was born in 1816. And he became 1844. In 1844, he became a lawyer. That's what happened. I'm sorry. I had my facts wrong. He was born on August 4th, 1816. And on July 3rd, 1844 is when he got his license to practice law. So now, I'm sure in 1844, during slavery, can you imagine the impediments, the naysayers?
What?
Is that even possible?
That's what I'm saying. Huh?
Do you know how much you have to believe in yourself and you have to know and trust that it doesn't matter? Because not only is it, can you do it? And nobody's ever done it, but can you do it? Mm-hmm. In his particular case, will you get killed for trying to do it, for even thinking you can do it?
Right.
For even
and in his case, there was no example before him.
Exactly.
There was no example. And I say that because, you know, like today, it is our images and our examples are necessary, you know, to exist so that, you know, you see, so that kids or anybody younger than you or anybody, hey, it could be another adult you are inspiring. But to not have an example of that means that you don't have what the possibility looks like.
Exactly.
And it's the same possibility seeing, let's say, and I'll just throw this out there, let's say when Barack Obama became president. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we did not have that possibility.
And nobody believed it would ever happen.
No, of course not.
Remember Run, Jesse Run? we were like, run, Jesse, run, for the sake of Jesse running. But I don't know that people all collectively believed that he was going to win. You know, we were, you know, Ungawa Black Power. You know what I'm saying? But this is a name that needs to be in every textbook.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Macon Bowling Allen. He was born Allen Macon Bowling. And for some reason, he changed the order of his name. I'm sure that's an interesting story within itself, I would guess.
And that speaks back to, and I'm glad you brought that up, Alyssa, he had ancestral traits of greatness, too, in 1800. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's not ever get this twisted, good people. Not ever, ever, ever get this twisted. We come from greatness.
Absolutely.
We were dropped all off on this planet in various places, but we come from greatness. We are magical as fuck, okay? And let's not forget that sometimes when you don't know where that spirit is coming from that's pulling you and driving you in certain spaces, let's not forget that we have that magical DNA that exists, and we have to start acting that way.
Absolutely. No regular average human being could have survived the Middle Passage. No whips and chains and the breaking of human spirits and, you know, just oh so much that our ancestors suffered through, lived through, and thrived through, survived through, manifested greatness through. The average person couldn't survive that. Only the strongest survived that. Mm-hmm. We are the descendants of the strongest. And that's just that. We are amazing, brilliant, standingly magical motherfuckers. Okay?
Whereas that building in Miami may be falling, our pyramids did not.
Okay.
And that's just,
yeah. So just, you know, as you know, since we've been speaking about this, and for those of you who doubt what it is that you can do, that you live with a particular disappointment, something that didn't go your way. Sometimes, and this is just my personal opinion, sometimes some things that I have wanted, hell, some people I have wanted, I thank God today that I did not get them or her. Because it turns out that there was always something better in store for me. So sometimes it's a blessing to not receive the thing that I want, because I got something even greater in the end, you know?
Later.
Maybe he figured he could be killed anyway just for being black, and so reasoned as long as he was living, he would live, you know? Are you speaking about Mr. Allen in particular, LaVon, or, you know, actually that goes along with my bullet theory. Yeah, thank you, Rezi, because that's you as well. You know, you definitely live your life in that way. And what I'm talking about specifically is being worthy of the bullet that's coming to get you. And, you know, LaVon, you spelled it out here. Maybe he figured he would be killed anyway just for being black. And so reason, as long as he was living, he would live and live to his highest potential. That's the thing. See, that's the thing right there. People can kill you for being gay, just because you're gay, just because you're a black female, just because you whatever, because you're a black man, because you this. Don't just be that thing that they're going to kill you for, just for being a female. Be a powerful, you know, stand in your truth. Absolutely. if there was a bullet coming, because we're going to die of something. But, yeah, they might lynch you just for being black, just for being loud. Well, guess what? Be louder and make what you say make a difference. Martin Luther King was worthy. Okay? Abraham Lincoln, even. I mean, he was worthy. They didn't want him to do what he did. He, you know, whether he wanted to do it or didn't want to do it, he did it. Bullet in the back of his head, whatever.
Should have done it back on Texas, though. But
I'm just saying. Well, he was dead by that point. They shot him in the back of the head.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Because of what he did.
Right.
You know? Hell, even
yeah.
Even people like Hitler, they were coming for him. He did what he did. What he did was terrible. But he did it in a big way. And it's terrible. God, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. He gave himself a bullet. He deserved the bullet that he gave himself. But you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to be murdered because you're gay, be proud. Be out. Be, you know, because you're going to be murdered for that thing anyway. Be an advocate. Be, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of advocates, you know, I traditionally say to people that are in my life who are not gay or not in the LGBT community personally, but they are allies. And I had to remind someone when I said Happy Pride, they were like, "You're trying to be funny? I'm not gay." I was like, "Sweetheart, you've been an ally for as long as I know." "Oh, that's right." And can I tell you, she went out and bought every button that's impossible to remind. That's right, because I'm an ally, you see. You know, it tickled me because she forgot and she only thought that I was saying that, you know, although I have questioned her sexuality off and on, so maybe she was a little, you know. But I said, you know, I mean, you know, that's just me.
That's a whole other onion.
Yeah, well, that's true. But she said, you know, "I forgot that I am an ally." And, you know, and then she went into this major, amazing conversation about how she's always felt and how she's always wanted to be an out ally. And, you know, what did it take to do that? And I was like, You are doing just what you're saying that you want to be. Anytime you hear someone speaking in a way that's derogatory, you know, you can say something about that and tell them it's not okay. You know,
exactly.
You
exactly.
can stand for, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what she's done, you know. So cheers to you, Lisa.
Yeah.
One of the biggest allies that I know, you know, who I consider a friend, family, and an ally of the community. Happy Pride, I'll say it to you again. And anybody else?
Yep.
Wow. This was an interesting icebreaker. And then, Pops! It's an interesting icebreaker and onion session, you know. But I think the moral of this story is, like, time waits for no one. And please get out there and live your best life and follow your bliss.
Exactly.
You know, your bliss can be of service to so many others, you know, because when you're happy, happiness is contagious like a motherfucker, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And a smile is contagious. You know, if you see somebody, smile at them, damn it. You know,
yes.
There are things that I want to do. Mostly I do what I want to do, but, you know, it's interesting that you talked about your colleague who passed away. And I think about that, you know, like, you know, as you grow older and whatever, you know, if I were to die today, you know, then I'd be dead. But, I think that if, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Defending Your Life.
I don't recall.
It's with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. It's a good movie.
Oh, back.
Yeah, it's a 80s kind of movie. Anyway, I feel like I would be pretty cool with what I did, what I've done so far. Like I said, nobody wanted me to sing. I wrote my own song and I sang it. Music video. Wanted to do a concert. Figured out by myself how to do it. Wanted to have, for the longest time, wanted Monifa at a concert. Wanted to have Monifa at a concert I produce, you know? That's my, I don't know what accent, where that came from. But yeah. And we made it happen. You know what I mean? Like, and this is before I knew Monifa in the way that I, people see that I know Monifa now. It was through that manifestation that I got to know her. So I'm just saying, like, there's nothing that you can't do. Because thus far, most of the things that I've wanted to do, I've done. Now, I also want to write a book. I also want to write, I have several play ideas in my head and a couple of books. To me, that just seems like work. And right now, I just don't feel like doing that kind of work. You know what I'm saying? However, knowing me, I'll put myself to work because that's what I do. I got some things to say. So let's play a song, and then we will get ready for our guests. Come on. I'm so looking forward. So looking forward to meeting these two ladies. Let's see. Who I mentioned Mo. Let's play a little Mo Nifa. We'll be right back. ladies. I hear something in the background.
There we go.
Hey, ladies.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, Javon.
Hi,
hey,
Shannon. How you doing, Phoenix? Shannon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I was hearing the end of the show before. It sounded great. I loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I saw you in the background there. I was like, I hope she doesn't think I'm insane.
It was great. I was like, listen, I was like, oh my gosh, I was trying to set up. I realized that I'm not horizontal like everybody else. I could get hard. Or am I good? Am I good in here?
You're perfect.
You're good.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, welcome, ladies. And this is long overdue. And we're graciously in your arms today because we've been talking about, you know, self-work, personal journeys, and wellness, and all those things that I know you stand for, and then some. Now, I just want to tell everybody, low-key, Shannon, you know, and full disclosure, is a dear friend, right? And, you know, I've been stalking, you know, her Facebook and, I'm sorry, her Instagram story for over a year, you know, like well over that, right? Because her journey would oftentimes, when I was at my desk, help me escape, you know, when I was in a situation, I just, oh, man, like, look at the water. Oh, my goodness. So all those things, you know, and talking to her about, you know, her projects. This is long overdue, and I'm grateful to hear that she landed and fully ready to, like, execute some of that stuff. I'm super excited, and I'm going to let you guys, you ladies, excuse me, I don't want to use that general expression, you ladies, you queens, share with our audience exactly what that is and on this vein of wellness and where you are. So please take it away.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you, Javon and Therese and my dear friend and soul sister, Phoenix, who's here with us today. You know, I think if you don't know, since you may not know some of the backstory with Therese and I, when she was talking about, she was following my journey back in like 2016 when my mom passed, I was kind of going through a lot of life changes, like things were just, it felt like my whole world was kind of colliding at one time. A relationship of many years was ending. My mom had just passed. I was working as a producer in the entertainment industry, and I was also managing talent, and my talent didn't renew with me. And it was just like all these things, right? All the things that can make life heavy and you feel challenged. And I just felt kind of like, I think how we're hearing, Shikari, the track star, I heard her post this morning and how she was saying she was tired of wearing the mask and, you know, and you're working in the public and the public image, and I just got tired of wearing the mask, and I decided that I just wanted to let it all go. And I had a unique opportunity because my daughter was away at college and I didn't have anything to hold me down, so I took what I call my soul sabbatical. And I traveled to Southeast Asia, I backpacked, but I did something kind of crazy. I left with $700 and a one-way ticket, and that was crazy. I would never do that. But whatever it was at the time, I felt like I wanted to step into faith. It was a choice. It wasn't that I had to. It was a choice, and I wanted to see how far I could go. And I ended up staying gone for over a year. And in that process, I started studying Ayurveda. I became a certified yoga teacher. I sat with monks and I started studying meditation, and everything in my life just shifted. And when I came back to the U.S., I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go back to the industry that I was in. And I wanted to make some changes. And so I just dove deep into the work and the work of self-care, the work of healing. And this is how I connected with Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Phoenix, what is your background and how did you ladies meet?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for
having this platform that you're bringing out these voices so important. And again, I was listening to Before Living Your Best Life, like just doing it, exactly what Shannon was expressing. It. Like you have to take those chances. You've got to go. You just got to go for it, even if it's $700 and a one-way ticket. And you don't have, it's like, if you don't do these things, you never know what's going to lie on the other side. And just to have that trust to let go is the key, you know, for all of us. So thank you for having these platforms and exactly those Shannon stories that we've been stalking that help us. The one for me, the Zulu one, Shannon, where you're jumping.
I was in Tanzania with the Zulu tribe.
That shit was everything to me. I was like, that right there. And I had already met Shannon by then. And I was like, man, that it just because that route, you know, and people will see it. They'll see it in magazines. They'll hear about it. They'll see it on Nat Geo. But there's Shannon in the middle, like, this is my soul sabbatical. I'm like, I'm the Nat Geo here. Like, what's happening? And it's so inspiring. It's so good. I love that. And we had met actually at a meditation studio. We actually met some friends had Shannon, what was it? It was a really great group that they invited us. And I actually wasn't going to go. I was really working on stuff and I was kind of busy. I was like, I don't know if I can sit. It was a sound bath and a share. And I was like, it was about 40 minutes away. And I said, no, let me hit it. And I was there. I sat down. And then this lovely queen was sitting right next to me. We just looked at each other right away. We were like, hey, like it was just that instant recognition. Yeah. And I was so happy. We exchanged information and then we met, we talked, we connected on so many soul level things. It was like crying, one of those crying moments. And then Shannon came to a meditation class I was teaching and she said, you know, we got to work together. So here we are doing that. And for me, let me say my journey, man, you know, the journey, it can be told from so many stories. I think that one of the ultimate stories is 2008 independent artist, breaking Billboard, don't have a label behind me, nothing. One of those moments where you go, I'm just going for it. And I show up on the charts. Alicia Keys, Nai Moses, that's my music name, and Queen Latifah. And there I am. And I have my first concert at Chicago Theater. Music's on the radio, everyone's excited, they know my music, and I'm scared shitless. I'm like, what? I gotta go up and do this. It's like, careful what you wish for, I gotta go do this thing. I'm working, you know, I went to performing arts school back in the day. Did you give up the music? I'm like, no, I'm gonna go for it. I got the kids, I'm a single mom. I am going to stick on it and stay in the studio song after song after song. I don't care how long it takes, and it pops. And I'm not ready. I'm ready, but my soul, I hadn't had that sabbatical. You know, I kept pounding and going, also working in the industry and styling and productions. I'm surprised Shannon and I, we didn't meet sooner in LA during production, because I was in production for many years, working on the music, but also studying spirituality. I worked with shamans and I had been ancient mystery schools studying for years because that was just my path. I had a lot of traumas, as you know, we do, all of us. You know, coming up when I was younger from adoption, abandon, all the things. But I hadn't done that inside work and I didn't feel worthy. You know, I felt a lot of shame and I didn't believe it. I had the imposter.
Uh-oh, you lose her?
Yeah, I think you...
Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, no, I, unfortunately my computer wasn't, so I had to do it with my phone. Sorry about that. So, yeah, I hadn't done that work. You know, and the imposter syndrome is what I was saying.
Yeah.
That's like, Alicia Keys and Naeem, what are you talking about? Like, how is this actually happening? And yet it was happening full force and it was amazing, but I was totally scared. And so my one writing partner and producer, she was like, I just saw the Oprah show and there was a hypnotherapist on there. You need to go see the hypnotherapist, like, ASAP. We have like 2 weeks to show time and like, you can't be having this. So I went and it helped me so much. It was probably the first therapy I ever had in my entire life. And it gave me the root and the ground to come into myself, know from my heart where I was, to connect with my mind, and to act from that point. I'm standing on the stage and I've got all these people, and have it be okay, that I'm okay, that I'm good enough.
Mm.
And so after my tour, I vowed that I would go back actually and study hypnotherapy, and that was one of the tools I added to my shamanic journey, because it's so helpful for everybody. So, so a little tidbit there. Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you for that. And we get, and selfishly I say, we get the benefit of the connection.
Yes.
People win again. Yay. Let's talk about Sumana.
I'm happy to share about that. So Sumana is my company. It's a wellness travel company. And we were set to launch right before COVID. And I was so excited. I've now traveled to 47 countries, lived at least, I call it slow traveling. So during my journey, when I took my soul sabbatical and I got into the deep healing work, I had the chance to work a lot in Eastern medicine, Ayurveda, like I said before, learning meditation, studied yoga, and I had such an incredible journey traveling, and I was connecting with locals, connecting with local healers, connecting with local shamans, and just connecting with the locals in general. And I had such a deep dive in the culture. I was like, oh my God, I want my friends to experience this. And so I started in having friends, inviting a couple of friends to travel with me while I was traveling. And we had such life-altering shifts. Like one of my friends who had never backpacked before came back and took her nephew to Sri Lanka, and they backpacked. Another friend came who was going through some life changes herself, you know, kind of had her epiphany about what she needed to do. And when she came back, her whole career shifted. And I saw how travel changes you. And I saw how taking that time for self-care changes you. And I wanted to bring that into a way where I could share it. And so I created Sumana, which is a wellness travel company. While we weren't able to launch in 2020 because of COVID, we are now launching in November with our first wellness retreat. It will be a women's retreat here in Mexico where I'm living, and it will be a deep dive with Phoenix and I, and we will be working with some local shamans. We will bring some plant medicine into play, like cacao. We can get into all that in a little bit, various modalities of healing with real indigenous healers, just a real experience. You know, a real cultural experience, and really giving space. It's not, I don't even like to use the word retreat, because when you say retreat, you think, oh, I gotta be up at 5 a.m. and I have to do all the workshops and all the classes. This is more of an experience. This is where you'll get to really connect deeply with us, with each other, and where you'll get to experience the non-touristy side of things, because we're not going to take you into all the tourism, but you get to see the real Mexico. So we're really excited about that. And then we have our itinerary launching for all of 2022 and 2023, praying that the variant and Delta variant and all that shake things up.
Nice. So excited for that, and so necessary. And I've been, honestly, for the folks that I've turned on to your page, Shannon, I've been getting some DMs about this November situation. So, you know, yep. We're going to have to have some chats about it. And you're also going to share a little later on, you know, how one can go through the steps to actually participate.
Absolutely. And
all right.
Also, Phoenix and I, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to share, are hosting a masterclass on July the 11th, and the links are in our stories and our bios. We can send you to our website, and we'll give all that information at the end. But we're doing a masterclass. It's an online class. We want to invite everyone, women, men, everyone into this, because I think one of the things that we've really realized during this time of COVID and, you know, where we were all sort of forced to sit still for some of us the first time in our lives, you know, really had to sit still and sit with our mortality, sit with the things that we've been carrying. I mean, a lot of people have shifted their lives and their careers during this time. A lot of people don't want to go back to their old way of life. And a lot of people are still living in that imposter syndrome. They're still carrying the weight of their past, of their trauma, and even past life regression. And, you know, the more that science is revealing to us even what we're carrying in our bodies on a cellular level, in our DNA through epigenetics, it's time to release that. And especially as people of color, we really need to do the work so that we can heal and grow as a collective body, as a collective consciousness. And, you know, it sometimes people will say, well, I have people who are religious who will say, well, I don't know about meditation. I pray. And I said, okay, well, praying is talking to God. Meditation is listening. So, you know, the work that Phoenix and I are doing, myself, we're both working in shamanism, and I'll let Phoenix go more into the work she does in shamanic healing. I'm co-facilitating in plant medicine retreats, and I'm coaching in mindfulness, and we're just bringing holistic means back to self-care, and I think it's never been more important right now.
Oh, my goodness. Truer words have never been spoken. Thank you, Shannon. Shamanic beauty. Now, you know you have to take a deep dive into that. Shamanic beauty. Please take us through that journey.
Yes, I absolutely love to take you through the journey. And, you know, it's a much simpler journey than one would think, just like Shannon was saying. It's getting back to the natural, getting back to the nature, because something that has happened to us as humanity on a whole level, for except amazing pockets of indigenous that are hidden and kept quiet, secret, right? We have been systematically disconnected from the nature of who we are. We've been disconnected from the mother, from understanding that we are the earth itself. And that the original mother, as we know, Africans, original mother is black, that until the black woman, the black mother heals, everything else, nothing heals, because she's at the root. Everything sprung from her. So we are trying to build on top of all of these distortions and ways of others, industries telling us, bosses over us telling us what to do, how to heal, what to eat, what to take to heal ourselves, you know, what to watch, what to listen to, all of that. And every bit of it is disconnecting us from the root. And so the shamanic journey is becoming your own guru, your own doctor, the own healer of your own soul. So that meditation piece that Shannon is speaking about, it's not just, oh, we're talking. This is the listening. This is where you actually get to and know that inside you, in every cell, is the embodiment of source consciousness, of the directed thought of source consciousness, himself and herself through the earth combined in one. This is what we're trying to step into now, the perfect balance of the feminine and the masculine. And it doesn't mean because I'm in the feminine body, you're in the feminine body, or she is in the masculine body. It means in each and every one of us, we have both aspects. We have both parts of ourselves. Did my light just go out? There's something that got dark.
You look fine.
All right. So yeah. On my end, I saw it just
great.
Dark. So where we're going, and the shaman part, that guru part, is where you become the master of your own, what you're eating, because your intuition goes, you know what, that packaged thing on that billboard that they're saying, go eat it, that's good for you, that you're like, the colors aren't even correct. You know what I mean? They're not even like natural colors. And we're so attuned to listening to these things and buying into something that is killing our soul, which in turn is killing our body.
and our health is off. And we have forgotten that we actually have inside us, we were born with this gift that the body actually knows how to heal itself. It actually does. This is real. That our immunity is here. It's right here. But of course it's not going to be here if you are listening, eating, and taking in the information that is the distortion that keeps you disconnected from the root, from nature, from the natural. So the beauty part of shamanic beauty of my branding, my company, is becoming your own doctor, your own healer, guru of your soul, which is the beauty, because it's the beauty path and the beauty that you walk. That's your soul. So it's becoming that of your soul. And, you know, it's where we are right now, and we are at such crucial times, one of the reasons that we are doing this master course, because we have been, all of us, rewiring our brain for separation, the whole social distancing for all the reasons, wearing a mask for all the reasons, wherever any of us are on this. The point is, it's happened, and in it, we're instructed, you know, you got to stand back so far in line. And isn't it interesting that people, you can feel it when you walk through a store or walk through a place, that people, you can feel, you can hear the thinking, the mental realm, the fourth realm of dimension is the mental. The third is the physical. The fourth is that mental construct where all of us sitting here in the room, we're all picking up our thoughts. All of your listeners, they're picking up thought. Even when we're not speaking, we're picking it up. So we're picking up the thoughts, right, of the people who are, you can feel, you can see people's body already. It's like kind of post-traumatic stress. We're like kind of moving like in these certain ways where we're not relaxed. And that builds stress. It builds trauma. It's a total post-traumatic situation because for so long, and our kids, you know, who are going to school and you have to stay a certain distance, you got to do this, you got to, everybody's like, and that's making us sick because it's releasing the hormone that makes you sick. And therefore, to fight anything off, again, naturally through nature, it becomes that much harder when it really didn't need to be. And so as real as this situation is, Shannon and I said, okay, what can we do to help is to actually give two tools, teaching tools. Mine is a tool of alchemy, which is changing frequency of thought. So when we're presented with these situations, how do we take stress out? How do we relieve ourselves from that part so that even in a situation where you have to social distance and mask, you don't take it into your body, that it reprograms your thinking. And then that's thinking for humans, what we want to do is we really want to connect. We want to love. You know, we want to love each other. We don't want to stay apart. We want to see each other. We want to hug each other. We're like, are you kidding me? It's like, hey, God, what are you? You know, you're going to do these things. Okay, you know what? just breathe it out furiously because the body knows what to do. If you, again, allow it and give it the chance to get the proper nutrition, vitamin D from the sun, the right nutrients, you're eating, you're exercising, you're meditating, you're doing all of those things. So given the chance, you really do that fasting. I have fasting is big on my protocol because it resets the body. You can actually, you know, connect to nature in a whole different way. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll share something right in the beginning of COVID. We didn't know COVID was coming. We had already planned to do this, a group of us to do this this fast. So we did the fast for 30 days and then COVID hit like right at the tail end of the fast. And probably now all of us, it was like a meeting, I think a group of 9 of us, I think that did. And forgive me if I'm forgetting people, but we're all different walks of life doing it. And what I remember most about coming out of the fast was that there was an overwhelming sense of calm, you know, as in all of the chaos. And that is what, you know, I when you talk about that resetting, I wanted to learn more about the resetting after a fast or the cleansing to be able to start a different, you know, because obviously now, not obviously, I have fallen off the fast and getting ready to go back and do it again to reset, which is something that I want to do. Can you talk about that a little more, about what fasts do for the body, mind, and spirit?
Yeah. Oh, you know what's so good, everybody, that did that, and you didn't even know COVID was coming. You know what's funny? I forgot until you just said that I was doing a fast, and then COVID hit. And I was like, that's good, because the fast allows the body to take a break. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, it's as simple as it is. And I love the water fast. It brings everything to baseline. It's kind of like you have your car and you're always running it. You never have an oil change, or you never change the air filter, which many people don't. You're constantly putting into the body, constantly. Body's like, could you please just give us a minute to recover? So when it has that minute, oh my God, and you know, going through it, day one's always the rough one. It's always rough for me, and I've been fasting for like over 20 years, you know, doing fast, like just I'm in it. And I love it because it's completely youthening. It releases the youth hormone. But day one's always rough. Day two gets better. Day three, after that, you start sailing. And you can see that, you know, the evidence in your body. You're like, you know what? I'm not even hungry. This is awesome. Energy, and that's because the human growth hormone has released. All of the happy drug, it releases, and it's upregulating the body so that it can start addressing all of the systems that it was like, okay, stop feeding me, let me just get a breath in here. All the cells finally come up online. They go, and that's that calm that you feel because your body's saying, thank you. You know? And, yeah, it's incredible. So the water, I've done juice fasts, but I think the true fast is when it's just water, because it's just water. Anything you add to water, and it's fine because you can do no judgment, because some people get snobby about, I'm doing the water fast and you're just doing the juice fast. It's all good. It's just how deep you want to take those layers, like the onion you're saying, how much do you want to peel it back? Yeah. So when you do water, because water carries memory. Water is the biological gift, you know, from source itself. Every one of our cells, you know, it's on the planet, everywhere. I say, you know, they say a certain percentage of the body is water. I kind of have to feel it much more, because if every cell has water in it, then it's like you're just this bag of water. So when you're feeding it fresh water, it responds beautifully because it needs it. It's such a great journey. So I'm so happy that you did that and that you're doing it.
Yeah. Now imagine if you do that and you combine it with meditation, what happens is we're carrying so much stress in our daily lives. I think I read a scientific article that said that 70% of us live our lives, 70% of our lives are spent in the U.S. living in fight or flight mode. So we're in survival mode 70% of the time. And I'm sure if you took those numbers and you look at the Black and African American community and communities of color, you find that we're living in stress mode even more so. Economic reasons, health reasons, you know, just everything. The racism, all of the isms, all of the things that bring us into that space. And so our body is not in a state of homeostasis. It's constantly reacting, and it's constantly working, and the mind is constantly working, hence the reason why we get so busy with our thoughts. And so when you're cleansing your body and you also want to cleanse your mind and you're taking the time to practice meditation, you're bringing your body back into a state of homeostasis into a state of pure relaxation. And what we don't realize is just how much we need the rest. We just need the rest, you know. And while we've been perceived as people of color over the years as being lazy when we nap and lazy when we're resting, the reality is that we need that rest. We need those naps. And meditation is like taking a nap while being awake. It, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I can't sit still and quiet my mind, and you know, I don't know how to do that. I get really uncomfortable. And the reality of it is that you don't have to focus on quieting your mind. Meditation and mindfulness is a practice of awareness. And so if you can just take 2 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day to start and just be still. And when you're still, you know, if you gently close your eyes or you soften your gaze, you allow yourself to just be aware of what comes up, what thoughts are coming up. And a lot of times, as soon as your body settles down, your mind starts to get even more busy and all the lists, I got to do this, I got to do that, my mama said, my wife, my partner, this, that. And just take a breath and come back to the awareness of those thoughts. What's coming up for you? What's coming up in your body? And then it's not having any judgment of it, just letting go of the judgment of those thoughts and just hearing it, just sitting with it and feeling into your body what's coming up for you and what you don't even realize is happening in that moment that you shift your awareness from the thought to your breath. You've created a space, and it's like a little muscle. And that space will grow and grow and grow until you can actually sit and quiet your mind. But the intention is not to come in and say, I got to get quiet. The intention is to be present, to just be present in the moment, be present with what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing without any judgment. And what happens is the body starts to calm itself and it comes out of that fight or flight mode and into just a place of homeostasis, a place of rest. And the more we do that, the more we're able to really hear what we need to hear, what that flow is that Phoenix is talking about, to get those downloads and to actually see who we are and to reconnect with source energy. And when we do that, then it's like the ideas come, the creativity comes, and also this awareness that this is just a suit. You know, that we're infinite intelligence. And people of color really need to remember that, because we've been told for so long that we're not. But we are. We embody it in our DNA. We embody it in our melanin. We embody it in our spirit. And so it's just really coming back to source.
Yeah, that's so beautifully put, that it's not just, oh, I have to go and sit somewhere and get quiet. To me, and what you're saying, it's a walking meditation, like every moment, like all of us right here, we're all in meditation together, and we're all in a dream state together, because we're literally dreaming this up. We're deeply sitting. We're not stressed, and we're actually sitting, and in this moment is actually meditation. And if you just take that one layer deeper and just kind of go into the center of your brain a little bit, just gain that awareness, it gets even a layer deeper, and you're like, yeah. And then you start to hear things differently as well. So it's getting that awareness, and then, like you said, if you can start to hear the outside, and when doing that, it becomes just like muscle, like you're saying, it's a dance. There's a reason, and that fasting piece, you said coupling it with fasting, it's a reason the great teachers and gurus of the world have fasted, and they're fasting and meditating because they know it's probably one of the fastest and direct ways to make contact with your higher self. You just, boom, body drops, you're not in fight or flight, and you can finally think, you know, you can think. I have discovered over the years of fasting too, to bring that back, something I was thinking about is I feel like fasting actually gets you over the fear of death. It's actually true fear of death, because you know, when you're starving, what do you say? You're hungry. Like, oh my God, I'm starving. If I don't eat something, I'm going to die. How many times have we been like, oh, I got to eat something, I'm going to die. And literally that cellular memory from all those past lifetimes and those times, we did. We checked out. Because we starved, and there are people on planet starving. We're connected, quantum field. We know what's happening. We see homeless people. Stuff does happen. You know, for us right now, where we are in our incarnation in this, we're not going to starve this time. We probably have enough. We could live off for a month. I know I do. You know, and you're not going to die, but it really does bring up those memories, and it brings up this cellular on, wow, I need to eat something. And that's a total reptilian brain. You know, that's that fight or flight. We needed to get something to eat or our village, our family was going to perish. So fasting, how we are doing it now, I really feel it gets us beyond. It gets us over the fear of death. It's like, you know what? I'm safe. You know, I know I'm going to be safe. I'm good. I am good. And in it, it lifts you. And then in it beyond, it becomes magic. Yeah.
How long would either of you think the say one wanted to go on their own healing journey, how long would it take to get, and I know it's probably personal, how long, so I'm probably answering my own question, but what are some of the beginning steps one would take to be able to go on those journey and not be intimidated by the journey itself?
I think that you'll get a multitude of answers with this. It is different for every individual, but I think the main thing is because, like, okay, I had a unique situation. I was able to leave and check out for a year. Not many people are able to do that. And, you know, I can't even say that it will ever happen for me in that way again in this lifetime. But the main intention is that you're in your self-care practice every day, that you're making space for yourself every day. I personally like to set up an altar in my space or a place where I can just go and sit. And I think creating a place in your home, in your environment, even if you're in a little New York studio, if you have a little balcony or a closet or a corner, to create a place for yourself that makes you more aware that I need to sit still and I need to just take a moment and honor my ancestors and honor my presence right now. And to just, you know, just it really is a practice, and it has to be a consistent practice that goes on throughout our lifetime. You know, we think about all the things that we make time for in our lives, but a lot of us, especially Black women and women of color, we feel that, you know, we're taking care of the family, we're taking care of our parents, our children, our relatives, and we're taking on so much, and a lot of times the last thing we do is take care of ourselves, and it's like you have to secure your mask first, you know, so that's where you have to take the time for yourself first, and then you have more to give to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just speaking about a little of that in our onion peeling segment that we do on the show when things come up. And self-care has been the running theme. We've had, you know, folks come on and talk about it from spiritual levels, from therapeutic levels, even we've had folks come on, the sound healers, medicine women. I'm not sure if either one of you are have heard of Gina Breedlove. She came on the show and she does sound healing and that's her ministry. And it's important now that, you know, we remember that to our body and our soul are connected. And that is what's in turmoil when our bodies are out of whack. It's not the other way around, because oftentimes when I've just come from a beachy area and everybody was invested in bodies, but, you know, there's a lot of souls going on, you know, and I much prefer it to be the other way around, because the body will always fall in line if the soul is aligned and in a good, healthy space. But I just, I'm super proud of what you're doing, and wanna, if anybody is interested in wanting to join, how would they do that? You know, what are the steps they would have to take? Where do they go? I'm sorry, Javon.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question, because you spoke about shamans, sitting with shamans, and Phoenix, you are a shamanic healer. Is that correct?
Yes, a shamanic practitioner, healer, yes.
Can we talk a little bit more about what the definition is around that before?
Yes, absolutely. One of my big areas of study and practice is past life regression. So the definition of a shamanic is one who enables you usually he or she is the one who communicates with ancestors and spirits beyond and brings messages back. In my practice of past life progression and teaching people to be their own shaman, own guru, is allowing them to have the ability to speak to their higher selves, to go and see their past lives. For example, instead of you go to somebody and they go, wow, you know what, in a past life this was happening, or they kind of predict future stuff or tell you what happens in the past, it's still, and it can be wonderfully accurate in that moment. But because we have free will, and we're free will on this planet, free will humans, that reading, so to speak, or prediction can change in a moment, because what you did today that you're going to change tomorrow will completely change the outcome of what they also told you was going to happen. Also, those messages are still coming from they as opposed to you. So in my teachings and practice, is I help people bring those messages to themselves, because it's most advantageous, it's most important that you are the one that see what's happening, that's going to happen, that you are the leader of your own life. So the value is that. So in that, for me as the shamanic practitioner, I help people, basically many times I'm the teacher's teacher, so I help people to actually learn how to get these skills through hands-on healing, through past life, through dropping into theta, through activating the pineal gland, the third eye. I really like to call it the first eye, because yes, people always call it the third eye. This is, you know, third, one, two, three. However, if you really down, the first eye that was seen on planet that is in the uterus is the pineal gland. That's the first formation, the first evidence, the physical evidence of the body on Earth. That is the pineal gland, because it's the antenna to everything. So my job is to wake up the antenna. Fasting is a great way, because it's peeling away all of the calcification. And the calcification is not just from EMF frequency and fluoride and what we eat, but it's also through the thought that we've come up, you're not good enough. You're this. I don't believe you. You know, you're the little kid and you saw this. Mom, I just saw somebody was talking to me. You're just hearing things. Don't worry about that. That's just in a book. It's just a story tale. And you begin to close your shamanic ability to see the truth of your soul. So my job, I'm hoping this is answering your question, is to reopen what was closed for many of us, you know, a long time ago.
And do both of you practice in the same way? And is hypnosis a part of what you do?
So, yeah, for me, I had a long run study in clinical certified hypnotherapist. And this, again, it truly is meditation, and yet it's the path to help guide people again to open into their reality. So it drops you into the theta brainwave. And the theta is that sweet area that stops you between the delta sleeping, the deep sleep, and in between higher areas. So right as you're going to sleep before you drop off, and right as you're waking up, coming out of that deep delta and you wake up. And I know all of us have experienced that. You get these really great messages, like real early in the morning. And if you don't have a notebook or something, and then literally 2 minutes later, you're like, can't remember. What was that? Awesome. That is the state. It's that beautiful state where the past lives come in, where the information from ancestors, this part, and training yourself to stay in that area. That is the magic.
Yeah.
That's the magic.
Yeah. And Javon, to answer your, come back to your question about do we do the same thing, I think the way to look at it is like we both have a toolbox, and we're utilizing some of the same tools and some different tools. I'm working a lot with indigenous healers to learn the old ways and bringing old wisdom into the present through plant medicine like cacao and ayahuasca. These are tools that we're using to help bring about healing. And some tools speak to some people, some tools don't. Overall, even in our master class, what we're doing is we're presenting different paths to your self-care that you can use to empower yourself so that you can be your own shaman, so that you can be your own guru. Because, you know, just like Phoenix just said, it is really coming back to yourself, coming home to who you are. And our class is coming home to love, because at the root of all of this is the heart. It's coming back to who we are as infinite intelligence, infinite light, infinite love. And once we really realize that, we're empowered to manifest pretty much anything we want in our lives. And so, you know, we're excited to work together to bring different tools for healing, and to introduce people to a path they may not have ever considered before, that can promote them and their well-being.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we just came into the sandbox. Shannon just dumped a bunch of her stuff out, and then I came in and dumped a bunch of my stuff out, and we're like, okay, you got that? I get that. It's like, let's put it together. What are we going to do now?
That is wonderful. A wonderful collaboration, ladies. Before we get the details of how we can connect and how everyone can connect, do you want to play a little game with them, Therese?
Mm. Yeah, I really do.
So we're going to play a game called Rapid Fire. And what's going to happen is Therese is going to say a word, and then Shannon is going to say the first word that pops into her mind in response to Therese's word. And then Phoenix, you will then say the first word that pops into your mind. And that's going to go on for a bit, and then I will say a word. And then Phoenix, you can respond first, and then Shannon will respond after that.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
I thought it was
going to
be a game.
Yeah, just the first word that pops into your mind.
Okay. Yes, this is a game that we frequently play. Just gives people a peek behind the veil, you know, and how you connect things, and we use them definitely. So let me know when you're ready, ladies.
Let's go.
All right, so Shannon, you're first, and then Phoenix Rising, you're second, right? And the first word is community.
Happy.
Oh, you know. Okay. I'm the slow one here. So I do the same word. It's not a, you're not
right.
Giving me a different
word. It's the same word.
Yeah.
Community.
Mm-hmm. Like what pops into your head when
got
I say
yeah,
community?
No. I got that. I thought you were giving me another word. Okay, go for it. To me, she said happy. I'm saying bliss.
Faith.
Hope.
Honesty.
God.
Did you say God?
Yes.
Queen.
Soul.
Black women.
Mother.
Daughter.
Love.
Fulfillment.
Intimacy.
Money.
Work.
Travel.
Black men.
King.
Beauty.
Children.
Joy.
Fun.
Wellness.
Lifestyle.
Freedom.
And my last word is going to be life.
abundance.
Mother.
Nice. Javon, you're up next.
Okay. Now, Phoenix, you will respond to me first, and then Shannon, you will respond, okay?
Now I got it.
you had it all the time. You just didn't realize it.
Yeah,
it
all the time.
It.
Yeah.
Didn't realize
no, apparently I didn't. Apparently I didn't.
Okay. Heart.
Full. Beating.
Mind.
Body. Consciousness.
Spirit.
Source. Connection.
Freedom.
Energy.
Life.
Vibration.
Intelligence.
Everything.
Cosmos.
Sexuality.
Freedom.
You took my word.
Get out of my box.
Open.
Earth.
Gaia.
Mother.
Africa.
All mother.
Pride.
Relationship.
Hope.
Work.
We're the same one. I hope it works.
Karma.
Duty.
Boomerang.
Wisdom.
All-knowing.
Healing.
Church.
No.
Construct.
Shaman.
Root.
Father.
Herbs.
Health.
Food.
Vegetarian.
Free flow.
Cleansing.
Blood.
Life.
River.
Music.
Harmony.
Joy.
Cycle.
Phases.
Seasons.
Indigenous.
Real.
Power.
I want to say self.
Love.
Connectivity.
Thank you, ladies. I gave you extra words because I find you both fascinating. Thank you so much.
That was awesome.
Nice. So let's please give our audience how they can join you in your journey and enriching their journey actually in November.
Yes. For myself and Phoenix and I are doing our masterclass. You can go to either one of our Instagrams. Mine is official Shannon Amos. And you'll find a link in my bio that will take you there. You can also go to shannonamos.com /coming home, and you will find it there as well. And for wellness retreats, Sumana, S-U-M-A-N-A-H, which means to bloom in Sanskrit, sumana.com.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Yes.
In Sanskrit. Simona.com. That's so great. Thank you so much for asking me to be part of that, Jim. It's so beautiful. My Instagram is the official Phoenix Rising, the official Phoenix Rising, and I have a link tree at the top too in the bio. And when you open it up, you'll see it right in the top. Come home to love. My website is shamanicmusic.com. And yeah, I invite anyone to get on the email list and get the information about the course. And it's going to be really, really fun. Yeah, it's going to be so fun. But it's not just fun. It's going to give you a tool, because you know we can do these many things and sit, but to come out with something, you know, you're going to get like, okay, out of the sandbox. one of our tools, we're like going, okay, get this one or this one. And it will help so much to get us grounded, regrounded and connected.
I see some folks that they're coming. Yes, yes. So please go check them out. We got the official Shannon Amos and the official Phoenix Rising on Instagram. So please check out these ladies and what they are doing for your souls. This is all soul work. And just, you know, want to make sure everybody gets what they need, you know, on their personal journeys. And it starts with your first step. So, and you have, you know, who wouldn't want to go into the, with the guide of these two beautiful women, to say the very least, and, you know, and help them take you on everybody let's go woosah.
You know, I wanted to say a little something about the location. You know, when you go to do work, which Shannon is in Mexico right now, and setting these things up, and also on your different journeys, all of your trips that you're going to be opening up to people, it's so important to do work as well at these geographical locations, because those locations are energy ley lines and nodules of the earth. The earth, as we have the chakras, the earth also has chakra points. And so the work, when you do it in indigenous lands, it powers it even more, because you are sitting in a vortex. So as well, when we're working individually.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to, I have to just let you know that is Celia, the countdown lady. Don't pay her any attention. She's going to do it again at 60 seconds, and then again, I think, at 10. But you can continue. Sorry for her.
That's all right. Closing out, just wanted to mention the power of that. And part of the question that you asked before about the shamanic work is to open your own portal so that you can be that beacon, you know, in a particular portal. That you might think, if you're sitting in your room, your apartment, many times those are portals, but it's to open your own self to make that work even more powerful. But love the location, Shannon.
Yes.
Monica, you set that up, so thank you for doing that.
Yes, we have beautiful Mayan ruins here. The indigenous people are amazing. We have healers here from deep in the jungle, Quintana Roo. And we also have some guests that are here now from Peru. And there's just a lot of really beautiful healing work happening here. And it is a vortex for sure. We have the cenotes, and the cenotes are just so cool. So we invite you to come, and we invite you to our masterclass on July 11th. And thank you. Thank you so much, Therese. Thank you so much, Devon. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming on.
Thank you.
And thank you both for being the necessary changes we want to see in the world. And thank you for helping us, you know, in that vein, you know, just being able to discover what we need for ourselves and our healing. Thank you.
If you have a few more moments, if you would be so gracious as to give us a drop for the show, each of you. Hi, this is Shannon. I'm Shannon Amos, or however you want to say it, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Shannon Amos, and you are in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Thank you. And Phoenix, the same.
Hey, this is Phoenix Rising, and I'm in the basement with Javon and Therese.
That's fine. Thank you. Thank you both. And everybody, please have a blessed and stay safe rest of your weekend. Watch out for the fireworks.
Yeah.
In your mind. The fireworks in your mind. See what I did there?
Awesome.
Thank you, ladies.
Fireworks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and I am in the basement with Javon and Therese. Shine.
Hey, this is Gina Breedlove, and you're listening to In the Basement with Javon and Therese.
What's up? It's your girl, Monifa, and you're tuned in to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, it's your girl, Allison Williams, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese playing My Kind of Music.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say, but it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Come
on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway, no, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway, but she did mention none other than Shaka Khan as one of her.
Why you gotta say? Wait a minute. Why you gotta say Shaka? She did mention
no other than Shaka Khan.
Like, where does your voice go? What happened? What's happening? Even the mere mention of her name. Silence. Oh, gosh.
Would you believe I'm blushing?
Yes. Hard. You're speechless blushing. That's the thing. Speechless blushing.
Rezzy, I can't help it.
There's a shocker rehab, you know.
If there's a cure for this, I don't want it.
Princess, though, Jay. She's got our ears. And
no, I'm going to send y'all some perfume. I'll get an address. I'll send y'all out tomorrow.
You can send me some cologne. Because, I mean,
cologne,
you know.
Yeah. I
just
do
in case I should meet Shaka Khan, I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, man. Whatever you say.
I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Shaka Khanuka. All right, thank you. Let's carry on. I'm sorry.
Javon, yeah, there's a pill you're going to be able to take.
I promise to tell them which way you went, but they're coming for you.
With time, so
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just gonna keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just kidding.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr.
Ooh.
Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.
Good afternoon. It's a beautiful day. No matter what, we're alive and breathing. It's a beautiful day. Grateful for this third day of July 2021, a day we've never seen before and a day we shall never see again. I'm here at the Maryland House on 95 on my way to Baltimore, almost there, going away for the weekend, but
never meant to let you down the crowd.